Lady, good morning.
Good morning. I'm awake, I tell you.
I'm sure it's been a little bit of an adjustment period coming here to the, you know, here where it's boiling hot at the moment and obviously a totally different time zone from the States right now.
Yeah, I'm trying to find the glamour in jet lag. Jet lag setter. Yeah, I'm really excited to be here and so excited to leave winter and come to summer. It is the best feeling.
Well, look, let's talk about getting out of your home country, or certainly your home country itself. This performance, you've called America a very bad boyfriend.
Yes.
This has kind of been inspired by the idea of America as a very bad boyfriend.
Yeah.
So what were you looking at specifically when you were thinking about that one?
Well, I was thinking about how it was when the news came that they were reading our emails and texts. And then I was thinking about, oh, yeah, and preventing me from getting birth control. But then if I actually had a baby, would never pay for the health care of the child. And really just being treated poorly and then having to deal, I mean, a real disappointment, you know. I can't even begin to tell you the feeling of, from a woman's point of view, of being on this precipice of, though she had her flaws, of Hillary Clinton becoming the first woman to become president, everybody kind of expecting that would happen, and the little girl inside me was just, you know, weeping for joy. I really didn't even think that day could come. And then to wake up, you know, the next morning and have, well, watch it that night, but wake up the next morning and the reality sink in that not only had she not won, but
It was Donald grabbing by the pussy Trump.
Yeah, a known misogynist, you know, and so the kind of feeling of betrayal, you know, from my fellow women in America and, you know, the country in general. And obviously I live in a comfortable liberal bubble of New York City. But yeah, to have that kind of realization of, oh, this is still the America that I don't identify with.
I mean, obviously we see now, right now in the United States, the Me Too movement, a lot of people coming out and speaking against misogyny, speaking against assault. It really did start with Donald Trump, even though he is now the U.S. president. He is now the chief, the commander-in-chief.
It's so strange that like all these people are losing their jobs, but yet he keeps his. But and that's the exciting part, is that, you know, and that's what I wrote about right afterwards. I was trying to find, because I am, you know, I'm an optimist when it comes down to it. And I think that the true saving grace of this moment is that it's like a boil coming to a head. And Donald Trump is like that pussy pimple head. And then it's going to pop. And then we're going to have a lot of, you know, sebaceous fluid all over us, but at least it'll be popped. I think this is like the rumblings of the last call of the racist, misogynist white man in power.
Well, Lady Rizzo, Red, White, and Indigo, is that sort of lancing the boil for you? You know, was it that coming from a place of watching all these things happening in your country and this kind of building up inside you and now lancing the boil?
Yeah, well, my work for the last 5 years, I've focused my shows on what I'm kind of obsessed with in the moment, because I feel like if I'm interested in it, that'll kind of be contagious. Not to put contagious and boil so close to each other in conversation. But I hope you don't catch it today, Sean. That kind of contagious energy. And so my other two last shows have been quite personal, dealing with my divorce and then dealing with... I did a show right after I had a baby, and so kind of motherhood as compared to like the nightlife diva. And then this obsession is, I have the great joy of having my obsession be shared with not only my home country, but kind of the world, because it seems like everyone's watching it kind of with mouth agape. And that's the only thing I do want to say. I'm sorry you have to wake up and listen to our news every day. And like, I bet it's exhausting. Like, you just want to hear your own country's news, but ours is so salacious right now. It's taking over. And I feel like that's kind of a tenet of America, is that we are so self-important that we've somehow encouraged others to believe that we're important.
Mm.
Yeah.
You know, I know when heading abroad, a lot of Americans kind of pull the, oh no, I'm actually Canadian kind of card out of the box. You know, oh no, I don't want to, speaking about American issues, I'm Canadian. You ever tried that one?
I pretended I was Finnish for a really long time because I figured that not very many people knew that language. And then on one train trip, someone was, fluent in Finnish. And so I was caught. I was married to a Colombian and for 12 years. And his sister, upon meeting him, she was very political. She really was not happy that he was marrying an American.
Mm.
And it took her a while to soften to the idea that I was, a person beyond my country, and that was when, George Bush the second was in
already a controversial figure in his own time.
Yeah,
and
but now
it couldn't get any worse than that.
No, we're nostalgic for him now. Seriously. We look back on George W. Bush and like, oh, if only, because for all his faults, at least he had some modicum of morality. And that's, I think, the saddest part about Trump is that you have this feeling that he has no, and it's weird. I never thought I would be pontificating about morality, but morality is something that goes deeper than this idea of like prude or even connected to, Judeo-Christian values. Morality is, I think, something deeper. It's about understanding how to treat others as, respectable equals.
Mm. You know, it's quite intriguing when you talk about the performance we're looking at right now. I understand you've sort of transitioned from burlesque and vaudeville to this kind of cabaret style performance.
Yeah.
Now, life is a cabaret.
Yeah.
You know, it's joyful, it's fun quite a lot of the time. When we are talking about quite some deep issues and some very serious political issues, how do you actually channel that into the performance?
Well, cabaret has a long history of being political. If you look at the Weimar era, it was always kind of sandwiching the politics with sexual, with frivolity, with personal. And so I like to kind of bring that history into now. And I do think one of my skills is that flip-flop of landing something that has incredible gravitas and then in the next breath saying something completely idiotic and stupid and being stupid. And also then kind of flipping to embodying glamour and luxury. And my great practice in life is with the art of flirting. I do mass seduction. So I can seduce, up to 700 people. I haven't done more than that. But
that sounds like an upper limit on my ability to seduce. I got to admit.
727. I use seduction by ultimate comfortability being on stage because I performed since I was 3 on stage. Mm-hmm. And then also like true self-love and sharing that with the audience and being able to tap into, a sensual existence, which is different than sexual. Sensuality is different than sexual. And then like the true art of flirting is saying, I see you. Like, I recognize you, I see you. And that is flirting. I see you, you exist. You exist as a special person that is only you. And sometimes I do that to like trees and leaves and, I don't even, it's not even limited to humans.
Mm.
I flirt with dogs on the street.
Dogs are easy to flirt. You'll always get a reaction.
I know. Cats are harder. It's really hard to get a cat, but I can do it.
Well, looking at your performance, we've got, I believe this afternoon, you'll be having one around 5:30 this afternoon. Also,
it's going to be at 5:30. It's not going to be around.
Around, well, at 5:30, bang on 5:30, and tomorrow bang on 3 p.m., I believe.
Strange times to perform and make a nightclub experience, but I can do it. If you come into that room and you just suspend belief that it is 5:30 or 3 p.m. and just accept that it's perhaps like, 11:30 in New York City, like we'll go somewhere.
I've got an album here, Lady Rizzo Indigo.
That's my new album.
That's fantastic. Was there a particular track you'd like to play us out on this one?
Sure. I mean, the single is Hit of You, but I also love the second song. It's written by a friend of mine called Spencer Day. It's about a hotel in in Los Angeles that is known for celebrity happenings and deaths, and it's called The Ghost of Chateau Marmont. Let's do number two.
Yeah, The Ghost of Chateau Marmont. As I mentioned, performing tonight and tomorrow. You can head along to sydneyfestival.org.au if you would like to maybe pick up some tickets to that one. But I'll play you out. Lady Rizzo, thank you very much.
Thank you so much.
This is The Ghost of Chateau Marmont. You're on The Daily with Sean.
There's a place lost in time where the palm trees and vines rustle under an empty blue sky. Where successes and fakes go to make them.